Please, I hope you are following the point I'm making. My build-up is slow, but I hope I'm getting the thing into your heart. So if the time for reconciliation has come, therefore, there are two manifestations again, and I'll use this one to explain. Now, let me just continue talking. I'll refer to the scriptures if I can. If you go and read the story of the Israelites, after they went into captivity, they went into Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar sat on their heads. Before that, Isaiah prophesied. I mentioned one man. His name was Cyrus. Open Isaiah chapter 45. He said, thus says the Lord to Cyrus, his anointed, from verse 1, whom I have taken by the hand to subdue nations before him and to loose the loins of kings, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. He said, I will go before you. He was speaking to Cyrus now. And make the rough places smooth. I will shatter the doors of bronze and cut through their iron bars. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden wealth of secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. Then it said from verse 4, all the things that he will do to him. He said, well, how did I call you? Verse 4, for the sake of Jacob, my servant, and Israel, my chosen one, I have also called you by your name. I have given you a title of honor, though you have not known me. Are you getting the point? Now, that is, God chose this fellow. And if you read through there, you will see that what God was saying was that this is the guy who is going to liberate my people that I am going to send into captivity. Long before they went into captivity, he planned their return. Are you getting my point? Now, if you read the stories further, Cyrus was not a prophet. He was not a priest. He was not a man of God the way you and I look at it. The man of God in the picture, there were a number of them. Choice point one amongst them was Daniel. Are you getting my point? While he was still in captivity, while Darius was reigning, go and read Daniel chapter 1. He said, one day I, Daniel, discovered in the books the number of years that God ordained that this guy should be here. He said 70 years. He said, then I began to pray. This is what I want you to understand. Daniel prayed to collect the promise spiritually. Now, the promise he collected spiritually, all right, and poured upon Israel by his intercession to bring an end to their captivity. Because prayer is very important when you are going to bring an end to judgment. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The manifestation of it was that Cyrus took over government after that. Are you getting what I'm saying? And he was the one that decreed that the oppressed must go. He was the one that said, go and build a house for your gods. Somebody said that it wasn't as if he was saying specifically to Israel that any people that they captured, he said it is time. You know, it's like Gorbachev. Remember Gorbachev? For how many years, communism reigned supreme. And God said in effect, Gorbachev I have called by name. He will make my oppressed go free. He will allow men to worship me in every corner of that land. Are you getting the point I'm making? And that was what happened. The man may not have done it because he's trying to serve God, but whichever way, he did it. Are you following what I'm saying here? Spiritually, Daniel walked. Physically, Cyrus walked. So the work of God for Cyrus is not offering in church. I hope you know that. The work of God for Cyrus was not give to the poor. The work of God for Cyrus was to issue a decree that Israel go home. Do you follow the point I'm making? What am I trying to say here? When we are talking about the ministry of wealth, that is for people to do the work of God, God empowers them. Look at what he says to Cyrus. He said, I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden wealth of secret places. Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, God prepared to make this guy do this work. And I'm explaining something here, that when we're talking about the ministry of wealth, this is my gospel for today. Now, one, I said the problem of the black man, which Nigerians represent, is spiritual. I'm also saying their blessing is also spiritual. Are you getting my point? And those who preach the gospel, who say to Zion, behold your God, they have done the work of God and they are still doing the work of God. But there's another work of God that must be done. That blessing is just roving around. It doesn't land until a Cyrus raises his sword to let the oppressed go free. Are you getting my point? Let's talk in practical terms, economic terms. Until a young man, a young woman gets up as an entrepreneur, then the blessing falls upon him. Listen, jobs don't come from heaven. Do you follow my point? Men on earth create jobs for people of less faith than them. We are not all of equal faith. Do you understand my point? That is the blessing that will pour jobs upon a nation is there like this, hanging in the air. But God is looking for who will just put his hand, that the thing might flow through him and begin to manifest in luck one after the other as he's going about his business. Do you get my point? That I'm trying to explain that when I talk about the ministry of word, that there's an assignment for people on this, especially in a nation like this, to establish the blessedness that God poured upon the descendants of Ham by reason of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Do you get my point? So let's get back to that story that my wife and I read from that book. What is the work of God? Listen, some people will die young if they don't start a big company for God. God will get tired. That this first year he has given you a good job, you prospered. 10 years after you are sitting down, good job, you are prospering. God said, listen. Oh boy, I will soon sack you. Do you get what I'm going to say? Not because he has anything personal against you. It is because, listen, my friend, you have one job, you are eating well, you bought 3 cars, you built a house in your village and one in the city, and you think that is prosperity. I wanted you to show to people that Bill Gates does not have to be the richest man, that the Mexican man does not have to be the richest man. It is not every good thing, every good thing does not have to come out of America. That there are crucial good things that come from where you are, and you are content with taking dregs and taking crumbs that fall from the master's table. The Lazarus anointing. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And that you are content. After some time, God said, look, my spirit will not contend with man forever because it's but flesh. Give me my spirit back. And then the man goes away and God looks and says, who else is worthy? Let's pour this thing upon him. We have read many books. Call to ministry, call to ministry, call to ministry. So the only call people hear is call to ministry. I've said that ministry is a very interesting thing. You know, that's one thing you need no permission to do. And nobody can judge whether you're failing or not because it's not a profit-making project anyway. You know, it's hard. You tell yourself, we are doing a great work. I always say, you are the one that thinks so. I don't go around telling anybody we are doing great work. Because you are the one that thinks so. You've told yourself that this word I preach is good all over the world. Even if it has not gone beyond your compound, nobody can check. But, Brody Lou, if you invest money, especially when you borrowed it and you lose it, everybody will know. So ministry is very, very simple. Nobody can hold you accountable. Listen, my friend, it is not only ministry that's calling. Are you getting my point? In that book that was written by John Johnson, he said that as a young boy, they would smuggle one particular paper down to them where they were in Arkansas, I think. That's where he grew up. And that's the state that Bill Clinton was the governor. Yes. He said that as a young boy, he will read it, that he loves to touch the paper, that he loved to run his hand across the print, the bold red letter headlines. He said, I didn't know that I had heard the call and had been chosen. Are you getting my point? As a little boy, that's what he was doing. He said, but that was the call. The thing gripped his heart. So when he had opportunities for it, he began to do it. Listen, it's not only preaching that people have calling for. Are you getting my point? You know, every day, you know, my wife and I would discuss that in the Lord. You know, I would just sit down. Hi. Maybe, like one day I was coming from Malaysia, I came by public transport. I hated myself again that day. 4 people on a row. Your back can't touch the seat. Say, Pastor, why didn't you enter taxi? If you go to the taxi park now, you wait for 5 hours. So I could enter the bus, believing that I had only 1 hour to go. Hi. Then Mopo would just stop for road. This is punishment. 4 people on a row. Which is why I get angry with federal road safety a lot of times. Then you see a sharp car with only 4 people inside. He says, stop, park. Where's your fire extinguisher? Last time federal road safety stopped me, I said, okay, let me tell you honestly, if this car catches fire, I promise you I won't quench it. If there is life, there is hope. As it starts burning, I run. I said, for your information, I have a wife and 3 children. I won't quench any fire. Believe me. See, if petrol explodes while you're trying to quench small fire, what are you going to tell your wife and your children? Now, what am I telling you that side of the story? I will look at all those things going on. And I'll tell myself, it is not right. I don't want to discuss on. In fact, recently, ideas came to my mind. Say I should do a seminar. I'll call it Spiritual Empowerment for Business. That's something like that. And there, I don't go bring Bible, nothing. I will just stand like this and start gisting. And start telling people everything that's wrong in the society that they should go and use their ingenuity to solve. And they will never be poor in life. I have ideas right now. Oh, God. Of how to make sure, you know, between the road and the houses, that there's no kwata-kwata. It's very simple. Believe me. A simple decree from the government, the thing will stop. I can give it to you if you want to hear. But now we are content. It's Noah. Now Noah caused the problem. But this is the issue. The solution has come by Jesus Christ. And it is an assignment that Christians have. Not just to prosper. No. I told the wealth is what? A ministry. Is a ministry. You owe it to God to wake up. Are you getting me? And bring out something good from inside your nation. Let me tell you something. If every Nigerian that needs to prosper, we have to go to America first, then Jesus did not die effectively. Do you understand my point? You must understand that principle. You must understand that principle. He did not die effectively. The proof that he died effectively is what you can do from the places where people said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Are you getting my point? You must understand that principle. That it is wisdom that God gave the blessed man that he built a blessed nation. In the same manner, if indeed you have been blessed. You know, we like to sing songs, Christians. We don't know that this thing has practical meaning. Let me tell you, anything you want to do in life, first, understand that you are blessed. And success is not by hard labor. It's by what? A blessing. When you have a blessing upon you. So you must understand from the beginning that the Bible said, in all that he doeth, he prospers. Listen, I've read a lot of books by very successful men, materially speaking. All of them dislike feasibility studies. There's somebody else who will go and write for them and show them whether it will work or not. As you are telling him, he will go and look by himself. If he says it will work, it will work. You know the interesting part? We think that he had the ability to see alone. That is correct. He had the ability to see, but not alone. There is a blessing that's in his hands that made things that would not otherwise have worked begin to work. There was something John Jones said in that book that I was reading. He said that after some time, they started electing him on a lot of boards, you know, big companies. He's a member of the board. He said the time he gets really useful is when they have to take gut decisions. That is, they are sitting down. There are no facts and figures and everything to analyze. They just say, what do we do? Is everybody learned that at that point they all look at him? And of course, he will tell them what to do, and the thing will always work. Let me give an example. He said there was a day, 2 big companies were bidding for something. They wanted to do I can't remember the details now, but the company that he was on, they needed somebody maybe to handle their advertising or something. And 2 companies came and then sent representatives. So at the end, they looked at all the facts and figures. They said, what do we do? Let's go for the big company. He just told them something simple. He said, number one, he said, let's go for the other company. The people on the board said, why? He said, number one, notice that this big company sent their vice president to come. So this other one, the CEO came, showed up. He said, that one treated us with more respect. He said, number two, he said, this small company, they need us to survive. It's obvious. He said, for that reason, they will work hard and serve us well. He said, but for this other one, we are one of those many people that they are doing stuff for. Everybody said, it is true. And that was how they made the right decision under those circumstances. Listen, that's how blessed people behave. It's hard for them to teach the next generation. Now, listen, another thing will come. He will use a different set of reasoning to reach another decision. Are you getting the point I'm making? So please don't think that it is the fact that feasibility study says it is all right. No. There is one factor. There's one advert I see on is this CNN? Talking about global warming and all these environmental changes. They talked about the different elements on the periodic table. He said, but there's one element that people don't remember to put, the human element. He said, once the human element comes in, the whole picture changes. Where oxygen is supposed to combine with hydrogen, oxygen will see hydrogen and turn its back. Why? Because there's the human element. You get my point? The human element can tell oxygen where to combine and where not to combine. You know that? Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, the human element is one crucial element in things. That is, when a blessed man decided, okay, they said things don't work, let us begin to make sure they work. They were not working. Those who said they don't work were not lying. It's just that he has come in with a spirit of blessing. I'm talking about what? The word of reconciliation. There is a spiritual side in which people preach, but there is a physical side in which people must arise and what? Shine. Because they have heard the spiritual side. That's the meaning of your light has come. Your light can come, but you don't shine. I hope you are following me, what I'm going to say here. That is, listen, the ministry of wealth is like this. It is an assignment. As one man is preaching and explaining what God has done, another man is working to demonstrate what God has done. Do you get my point? Let me prophesy for you. And this is a matter of fact. As a matter of fact, there is no field of human endeavor that in the next few years Nigeria will not take a lead. There's none. I know what I'm saying. I believe it absolutely. Not because suddenly are they so intelligent. No, it is time. It's just a matter of what? Time. It's their season to shine. That's all. I like what that man said in that book. When he was talking, after saying everything, some of that he didn't say himself. I just read it in many of his words. It's not, in fact, he made a statement and I told myself, error. I know he spoke out of maybe like the hurt in his heart. He said, people said, you were black, yet you made so much money. He said, if I was white, I would have made billions, not millions. I wanted to come and say, oh, guys, it's not true. If you were white, you probably have had a good job. No. One of the reasons why you made millions was because you saw there was no hope of getting a good job. One of the reasons why you moved to Chicago was because your parents saw, your mother especially saw, that where they were, there was no hope of moving forward for a black man. If you were white, you probably would never have moved. Neither would you have ever had the craving to do the things that you are doing. There's no guarantee. I felt like telling John Johnson, oh God, come. If you were white, you may have been poor. You don't know. Or maybe the best thing that would have happened to you is that you would have been average. You would have bought a big car, bought a big house, and we would never have heard of you. There's one thing my wife said once. She said, she looked at me and said that, what would you even have been like if you're not a believer? I said, even me, I don't know. Because it is your temperament. No, many of my temperaments, all right, are formed out of reading the scriptures. There are things that annoy me. The only reason why they annoy me is because I read in the Bible that it shouldn't happen. And if I was not a believer, maybe God would have looked and said, what is he doing here? He's not useful. Next time they just hear that, hey, they shot into the air and the bullet dropped on my head. Oh, you know, people think but it happens. You know it happens. One day my friends, they went for a wedding in Asaba. They were doing, thank God, everything. Then they give the mopo man there, you know, out of celebration. They go give him a drink too, everybody was happy. And the man wanted to honor the bride and groom. He shot into the air. No, you know, just, God bless everybody. Wah! Into the air. You know what happened? The bullet returning fell on the chief bridesmaid's head and the girl died. No. Just to give you gist, to let you know things like this happen. There are states in the U.S. where they banned shooting into the air because of returning bullets. So when the man said that, if I was white, I would have made billions, not millions. I said, oh, guy, if you were white, you would not have started ivory. You know, there's ebony. So for the white, it would have been ivory. Because it would not have been necessary. You were not an entertainer. You were somebody who wanted to sell a new gospel to the black man. And I explained to my wife, I said, what happened to the man was simple. It was a time to favor that black man, the black race. And God started looking for people who would tell them, arise, there's something good inside you. And he chose him. And I know something about God. He chooses servants, not sons. Now, let me tell you this. It's very important, though. You must get this, you know. When he said, this is my beloved son. You know the next line? In whom I'm well pleased. It is not my beloved son whom I love. It is what? In whom I'm well pleased. That is a description for somebody who obeys instructions and does what the father says. People think, he's my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. God just loved the son. No. He said, I have tested him all these years. He has obeyed me in everything. You see why? Listen, the only way, let me tell you, your advantage as a Christian is that when you get to difficult times, you know where to turn and pray. And wisdom comes from afar. I have gone for exams before. I still remember very well. I looked and looked. Hi, dear Lord, this slide, what could it be? As I closed my eye, I'm not preaching to you, I'm telling you the truth. As I closed my eyes, in my brain, it was as if I just heard the name. Kaposi Sakum. I opened my eye again. Oh, God, this is it. I wrote the answer. That's what the advantage of a believer. When God looked and said, this exam is going to be tough, he said, Banky, sleep. And I slept. And I didn't use the words. It was that one night I went to sleep. And I dreamt. And question number one was written boldly in black. Those are the advantages. Are you getting my point? Incidentally, I shared a dream. And the only person who took me serious was a Muslim. So you see, it's not as if I'm a son of God. Therefore, I'm the head. I've told you. You can be, you are supposed to be the head. But you can be a tail from the beginning to the end. And God will say, oh, that's my lovely son of a tail. Or tail of a son, whatever. The prodigal son was a son, even after he left his father's house. No, be so. But you know what sent him back? Hunger. And when he got back in there, what he said, oh God, please, any vacancies for servants, even if they were formerly sons? The father said, are you ready to serve now? He said, yes, sir. Don't worry, I'll take you back as a son. He said, I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. What am I going to say? What will bring blessing to you as a Christian is not that you're just going to church and praying. This is my year of breakthrough. I have waited. God, you will not wait for me for you will not let me suffer like this forever. God said, oh boy, if it is to chop a tatty, remember our story of last week, that you are running after, nothing for you. You must understand my plan, what I want to do in this season. Are you ready not to love your life unto death so that you may affect your generation? You say yes, sir. Then you are ready for blessing. You are ready for a breakthrough. Let me tell you, one of the greatest things you can do for yourself as a believer is to be a crazy dreamer. Wake up every morning dreaming stupid dreams. You know my stupid dreams. So why do we have to have all these small two? No, really? There's no reason why we should have all these small 2K buses all over town who stop every few meters, dirty your shirt. Are you getting my point? You can just be thinking, one day we'll put nice luxury buses to just be going around the Enugu perimeter. We'll be coming down. And, you know, it sounds very funny. But I told you, there are those that hold the keys to the kingdom. When God realizes that you are going to do what he pleases. Listen, let me tell you something. Anything you look at as a person and it makes you unhappy because it's not good, God is also displeased. Are you getting my point? So when God sees this, God is also displeased. When he sees that this thing displeases you and you will do something about it if you had the opportunity, he will create the door. He will open the door. Are you getting the point I'm making? The problem is that people like to dream small. They have this dream of servants, employees till death. Last time I was at home, my mother and I were talking. I said, Mommy, I hope you know that times have changed. They have changed plenty. There's no security in any job anywhere. I hope you know that. None. Don't think any man is secure because he got a good job somewhere. No, nothing like that. There's no security. You can be fired. The company can collapse. And then after the pension funds invest all your money in the stock market, the stock market can round up also for a new beginning. You don't know that? Really? Listen, the person who will be secure in his future, the person who will be secure in her future, is that person who prays every day and says, God, the time to favor us has come. What can I do to demonstrate your blessedness upon us? Are you getting my point? Listen, stop praying God. Now, if you are desperately hungry, pray for that meal. Don't pray for food anyway, that God, please, all I need in this life is just to have enough food. It's a dangerous prayer. You are an irresponsible son. Are you getting my point? When you want to pray, kneel down, say, God, right now we have nothing. But one day, all the people that are in my current situation, I should be able to help them start their business. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's just a dream. Like that little boy said, he used to run his fingers across prints. Not knowing that one day, by the time he was writing that, Ebony was selling about 1.7 million copies a month. I'm explaining this. To dream big is an assignment. To do big is a ministry. I hope you have now understood that money and wealth is not about let me have enough. You say, that's why if you go to church where they are telling you that this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. Please go away. I know what I'm... okay. I'm warning you. That God song was good at the time. When people thought the world was their home and they wanted to sit down there. But right now, we have understood it's not our home. Is that so? Then we must remove that. I'm not just passing through. How can I just pass through, Chris? I can't just pass through. I must shake everywhere. They must know an elephant came by. You understand? God said, once again, I shake the heavens and I shake the earth. I've told you, when God talks like that, he uses people to do things. So I said, God, so which part do I shake? Show me. Let's begin to vibrate this thing. You are getting the point I'm making? It's important. This world is not my home, I know. But I'm not just passing through. Every step I take, when you look back, the place is better than when I pass through it. I take the next one, you check that place is better. By the time I finish passing through, they say, Banky Wuzere, you know? Do you know Wuzere? You know, those of you who were in school, you write was, yeah, you know? So we turn it to Wuzere. Yeah, Banky was here. It's crucial. One of my friends told me once, he said, Banky, I think here Adra should listen to your messages. I said, that's the spirit. When he finished listening to some things I preached, he said, I think this should be sent to the president. So that is good. He will hear it. He will hear it. No, this is when I hear men talk. Sometimes I'm talking to, I hear people, and I know when somebody talked Banky. Do you get my, you know what I'm saying? Somebody will make a statement. And I know, yes, I'll preach to this one. It's true. When Kingsley came to my house and said he was getting married, I told my wife, I'll preach to this one. It's obvious. I preached. Brown is getting married. I know I'll preach to Brown too. No, it's true. The day Chiki was giving testimony in church, it was Thanksgiving. In my heart, I said, I preach to this one. I know when I hear, I know what I... They are telling my wife we talk. So this world is not... I'm not just passing through. I'm shaking every place that I put my foot upon. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. What have I tried to explain? Let me begin to round up. I just want to summarize everything I have said. I started by explaining that everything spiritual must have a physical manifestation. And I'm saying that the gospel of Jesus was a reconciliation. And that reconciliation, again, just like the separation was spiritual and then began to manifest as separation from poverty, from riches, separation from health, separation from a long and fulfilling life. In the same manner, reconciliation to God manifests as wealth in the nation. Are you getting my point? Health in the lives of the people and long and fulfilling lives for the people. And I said that when there is separation, when there was separation, it manifested through the handworks of people. God didn't just, you know, say, oh, this thing won't work again. Yes, he said so, but it manifested by people started doing things that were crazy. In the same manner, when God said, yes, I'm favoring you guys this time around, he said, what is next that happens? Cyrus must arise and begin to do his job. And I'm saying the ministry is not just about called to preach. We have preached for a very long time. Are you getting my point? But now ministers must also arise and do engineering so that they can do road work. Listen, you know, it is as much the work of God to build a road as to pave a church. In that book, I was quoting it for my wife this morning when we were speaking. I said, the pastor in the book said, the angel told him that when you see a poor man, more important than a hungry man, that more importantly than preaching to him is to give him food to eat. The man was surprised. You know, as a Christian, he said, the gospel is all he needs. He said, no. If he doesn't eat, he can't hear the gospel. So, whichever way, better give him the food first. What am I going to say? God wants to bless physically a nation. No, we have preached plenty. We have preached plenty. What we need to do is now arise and then do what? Shine. Arise and do what? Shine. It is your response. I told you, no, but a good society doesn't grow by itself. People build it. I like one analogy Bishop Oyedepo told us those days. In one of his tapes I listened to. He said, where have you ever seen that they saw a fine house on the road? And they say, who built this house? He said, we don't know. We slept one night, we woke up in the morning, and it just grew. It just grew overnight, and the house is there. He said, no, that the Bible says every house is built by some man. Are you getting my point? Everything good that you have ever wished for this nation is built by some man. You know, your spirit affects how you see things in life. Are you getting my point? You know, when that time I traveled to the U.S. for my course, you know, U.S. is a very, very beautiful country, believe me. A very beautiful and prosperous nation. But you know all that was in my heart. I said, this can be done anywhere. That's all that was going through my head. This can be done anywhere. Next time I went to Lagos and I got to Yabai, hi! All I was thinking is that, why can't we build parking floors? No, really. And it can work. You know, that's how the development thinks. He sees all those buses, you know, markets on the road. He's not saying don't do market, but you can't do market on the road. So next thing, when a local government man enters office, all he's thinking about when he wants to take loan is how to build like 3-4 levels of parking in Yaba. It's not hard. All we need to do is think about it. And then, be Lagos, they know how to collect toll now and put barricade at the door. As you drive your car enter, you drop 100 bucks. As you drive your car enter, you drop 100 bucks. If your car stays more than 3 hours, you drop another 100. Don't be so. And then on the side, he puts shops here and there. So that as you are parking on the third level, you can shop on the third level. That's how they think. And the thing, you know, the interesting part, it generates the money to pay for itself. Cruel rulers, which God gave us because we're not yet ready for blessing. That one, he sees the money. He first thinks, yes, when I have money, I go chop it at him. Therefore, he first moves to Sheraton. That becomes his house. 25,000 naira a day. That's where he stayed. Then he hears that Mercedes-Benz is releasing the 2008, you know, M-Class. Then he orders two. One is black, one is white. On Sundays, he drives a white one. The rest of the days, he drives a black one. It's not his fault. It's his spirit. In the Bible says that he makes us wiser than the beasts of the field. But that one has made him foolisher than the beasts of the field. He doesn't have sense at all. You know, when Nigerians are plenteous the most, is that Houston in the U.S.? All over the U.S., they say those guys, they have road. You know the interesting part? They don't stop building. They think they don't have. They keep building. But if now our people, anyway, it's those days. Are you getting my point? It is those days. Now that you are learning this correct gospel, it is time for you to become a local government chairman. Are you getting my point? Oh, please, I can't close without saying this. Join politics. There's nothing wrong with it. You hear what I said? Politics is not a dirty game. Politics has been played by dirty people. That's why it's been dirty. If a clean man plays it, it becomes a clean game. Everything is dirty depending on who plays it. Are you following my point?
Yes, sir.
Join politics. You don't have the different. Don't carry gun and be a thug. I've told you before. You know, this thing sounds prophetic. I know. Look, in Jesus' name, I know that one day I will hear a testimony. A man will come to me and say, I heard you either because he was present here or he heard this on tape, that you said, and I want to say it again, that I don't need to fight. All I need to do is just go, print my posters, take my form like anybody else, and sit down. And one, two, three people walk up to me one day and say, I did that, sir. And do you know, right now, I'm my local government chairman. Another one will come and say, that was the beginning. Right now, I have won the election. I am the governor. And one day a man will say, now I am president. I didn't hire a thug. I didn't beg for money. I don't owe anybody. I've said it before, the kingdoms of men, God rules over them and hands them over to whosoever he pleases. A lot of rulers are content, I've said it before, with sweeping gutters. Because like Issachar, he said he found that the resting place was good. He said he bent his back to bear the burdens and became a slave at forced labor. Why? The resting place is good. Have you heard me today? Have you heard me today? Have you heard me today? What have I said? To do well in life, to create big companies, to create employment, to repair roads, to make the society work well, to make the courts open for justice, is the work of God. Are you getting my point? Don't be fooled. Don't think work of God is only, this is Kingdom World Ministry as you're entering. Watch your steps when you enter into the house of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And draw your chair. Where you'll be crook outside. Do you understand that point? I have talked plenty today. I hope you've learned something. Yes, I hope the Spirit has moved into your heart. All right, let's begin to pray there. Let's begin to give God thanks. Say, Father, we give you thanks in the name of Jesus.